Good morning, Grace Church. We welcome you today to the house of the Lord. By the way, for the people that don't know me, my name is Daniel Oberholzer, and I am filling in for my brother, friend and mentor, Pastor Mark Barlow. Thanks for the opportunity. Our topic this morning is about forgiveness, and our text, Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are all gathered here today to receive the food you have prepared for us, the food of the Holy Spirit, the food that we need, Lord, to build your kingdom. Because without your guidance, Lord, we are lost. We want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, and your endless love for us. And we pray and believe that the Holy Spirit will be present here today and every other day that we seek you, Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that you would change lives and that after the sermon, our lights will shine into this dark world, that we would become more like you, our Heavenly Father, more like you, Jesus, that through our works it will show. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we start, if it looks like I went on vacation, it's not true. I did not. I'm a little bit tanned and a little bit burned, but I want to tell you why. So I figured I'll start to go to the gym and work out, and I did on Friday. And I worked out really hard. So when I was done, there's standing sunbeds that you can stand and tan. And I said to the guy, he said, how long do you want to go? I said, full speed, full time. Don't waste any. He says, do you know? I said, I know everything. Don't worry, just do it. So, it seems like I don't know everything. And anyway, we are going to talk about forgiveness. And my expectations are that you listen, learn, and that you make notes and points in the sermon as we go forward. But there are two main things I want to do. Number one, I want to challenge you to forgive. No, actually, I want to command you to forgive. And I have the right to do that because I am God's messenger today. And God commands us to forgive. And I'm going to do that by giving you eight points, why we don't forgive. And also, I want to encourage you to fully forgive. Now, this is the first thing. Number two, I want to answer a very difficult question from Matthew 6 that says, if we forgive, that we will be forgiven. Now, that sounds like a conditional statement for our salvation. What does that have to do with us forgiving? And how does that relate to our salvation? But first, I'm going to tell you a story that you probably heard before, but not from me. Before I carry on, I just want to show you what Winnie did. He made this for me. You are awesome, you are great. And Packers rule the day. Thanks, Winnie. The book of Genesis speaks about the relationship of Jacob and Esau. They were twins. They were the sons of Isaac and Rebekah. I don't know their last names. So Esau was born first, and he was a hairy fellow. He loved hunting outdoors, fishing, and he had, let's just say, a distinctive smell. He was a real explorer. I have always wondered why the story is called Jacob and Esau. Esau was born first, or wasn't he? In any way, Jacob, on the other hand, preferred to stay home and learn from his mother. He had soft skin. He was a smooth, handsome fellow, just like me. So, Jacob was Rebekah's favorite, and Esau was Isaac's favorite. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot of information about when they were children, but in any way. So it's fair to say that Jacob and Esau were very, very different from each other. But they were still twin brothers. One day, Esau came from the field, exhausted, and he was very hungry. Jacob was in the kitchen busy cooking. And Esau begged him for something to eat. Jacob was, well, let's just say he was slick. And he told Esau that he would give him a bowl of soup for exchange for his birthright. Esau was very hungry and he gave in. Now imagine if you are very hungry and there's a steamy hot pizza in front of you with three different cheeses on it. It sounds good right now. Need I say more? So at this time, it sounds like Esau did not care a lot about his birthright. And indeed traded his birthright for a bowl of beans. And this is a heavy price to pay for your birthright, isn't it? Deception continued. Many, many years went by, and when Isaac, their father, knew that he was on his deathbed, he requested that his more manly son, Esau, would kill a deer and prepare him a very fine meal so that Esau would get the larger portion of the birthright. Rebekah, the mother of the twins, heard about this last request of Isaac, and she decided to join forces with Jacob and pull off a grand scheme to fool Isaac into giving Jacob the larger portion of the birthright and, of course, his blessing. We already know that Jacob was Rebekah's favorite son, and that's the reason for her actions. They made plans to fool Isaac. And Isaac, being old, he was blind at the time. So Rebekah made real tasty food. They put sheepskin on Jacob's arms. And for the smell, Jacob borrowed some of his brother's dirty clothes. And guess what? The plan worked. And Jacob received his father's blessing and, of course, the larger portion of the birthright. When Esau came back from the field, everything was over. Esau was furious, and he wanted to kill Jacob. Jacob had to run. So Rebekah helped Jacob to escape, and on his way traveling to a different country, he even used a rock as a cushion for his head to sleep on. And after many, many years, Esau was looking for his brother Jacob, and Jacob, of course, he was scared to death. Well, when they finally met, Esau ran to Jacob. And Esau had three actions. Number one, he welcomed Jacob with open arms. Number two, he kissed Jacob and he hugged him. And number three, he showed true forgiveness. And the result, Jacob was knocked out. This was surely not the way that he thought it was going to go down. Imagine if forgiveness happened more and more in this world. It would be a different place, wouldn't it? I love these old Bible stories, and it takes me back when I was a child. When my mom and my dad still looked after me, the good old days, should I say, I still remember we had a big children's Bible with pictures that they used to read these beautiful stories to us. Please open your Bibles at Ephesians 4, verse 32. We are going to unravel this powerful verse from Paul. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Now, what does Paul mean? What is Paul trying to tell us? Paul gives us three commands. Number one, be kind. Number two, be tender-hearted. Number three, be forgiving as God in Christ forgave you. It is very important throughout the sermon to keep these three commands in mind and see if you can connect them as we move forward. This very tender subject about forgiveness is sometimes misunderstood. And in order to apply forgiveness in our lives, we need to fully understand what forgiveness is. To remove the root cause of this problem, not to forgive, or how to forgive, we need to do a self-evaluation and answer these three following questions. Number one, what is your attitude and what should it be? Number two, what do we need to do in order for forgiveness to happen? Number three, how should we forgive others that sin against us? We talk so much about forgiveness, and yet it seems that we have different ideas about what forgiveness really is and what it actually means. And to be honest, we want to forgive, but we don't know how to forgive because we don't forgive. Sometimes it's just too hard. We often hear that the idea of forgiveness is a gift, an act of kindness as the forgiver. And it's also said that forgiveness benefits the one that we are forgiving. And that's an added benefit, but not really the point. Do you forgive? Let me ask you this. Do you fully forgive someone for something they did wrong? 100%, like Esau. Who here have ever been wronged by someone else? Let me see some hands. Have you forgiven everyone every time? Well, if not, you might have obstacles in your way, reasons why you don't forgive. And I'm going to give you eight reasons or eight obstacles that you and I don't forgive. We don't forgive because, number one, suffer. You want the other person to suffer for what they did. You want them to feel the pain. We don't forgive because, number two, control. You want to be in control as part of our sinful nature, to be in control, and also we don't have any authority as a Christian to be in control for not forgiving. We don't forgive because, number three, you are selfish. Me, myself, and I. Selfishness is exactly the opposite what Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Me, myself, and I. I only look out for my own interests. This is selfish and this is wrong. Number four, self-righteousness. You are holding on to your self-righteousness. Pastor Mark even talked about the desire to be intellectually proud and boast about things we know well. That right there is how we don't forgive people. Because we want to be more right than them. You want to be in control. And you want yourself to be more right. We don't forgive because, number five, justify yourself. Justify yourself instead of humbly owning up to how you have been wrong or wronged by others. Instead, we convince ourselves that they are wrong, so that we don't have to face up in our pride to what we have done wrong. And this is not humble. And therefore, we justify that we have done wrong by convincing ourselves that they are wrong. We don't forgive because, number six, validate your suffering. It validates your suffering if you can convince yourself that the person is truly wrong and that you are not. Then, you have the right to wallow in self-pity instead of taking steps towards spiritual health. This is number six. Number seven, weakness. You are afraid or maybe insecure. You are afraid that the other person might think that you are weak. Weak to forgive, or even that you're now okay with what they did. So basically letting them off the hook, right? So number one, we want them to suffer. Number two, you want to be in control. Number three, you are selfish. Number four, you're self-righteous. Number five, you need to justify your actions. Number six, you want to validate your feelings or sufferings. Number seven, you are too afraid or weak. Number eight is guilt. When we forgive them, we imagine it as symbolically setting them free for having to carry the burden of suffering that we believe they have caused. So this is actually basically letting them off the hook. We want them to feel the guilt, so we don't forgive. Let's go over them one more time. Number one, you want them to suffer. Number two, you want to be in control. Number three, you're selfish. Number four, you're selfish. Number four, you're self-righteous. Number five, you need to justify your actions. Number six,
You want to validate your feelings of suffering. Number 7, you are too afraid or weak. Number 8, you want them to feel the guilt. You know what the point of this list is? If you are not forgiving, you are selfish and you have the wrong attitude. So the answer to question number 1, what is your attitude? That, my dear friends, can only be answered by yourself. But this list is what it should not be. So we all agree that in order to forgive, we need to have the right attitude. And if we do, if we have the right attitude, we will have the right actions. And it will show in our works. You don't have to be the one that has the last say, the stronger one, or the one that wins the battle. In our minds, we think, yes, I have defeated them, him or her. Whether it's with your wife, husband, a colleague at work, a fellow Christian, or maybe a non-believer, it stays the same. We don't have to win the battle. We all have good and bad times in our life. But the answer in every circumstance and situation stays the same. Look to Jesus. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? It's not about us, like Pastor Mark said. We are all missing the point. We are all missing the point. It is about Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our Savior and Redeemer. When we accept Jesus Christ in our hearts, then only can we forgive. Our debt is paid. Please open your Bibles at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is now a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If, which is a conditional statement, you are in Christ, then you are a new creation. Which also means that you shouldn't be part of the obstacle list, should you? Please turn to Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24. While you go there, let me ask you this. The Lord has put this on my heart to ask you, how many of you take this message from God, the sermons, and apply it in your lives? How many? I have a lot of respect for pastors, preachers, teachers, especially Pastor Mark. It takes a lot of time and dedication to prepare a sermon and preach it, to say what the Lord wants you to say. This is spiritual tiring. To be a messenger from God. Well, today I want to tell you, we are so blessed to receive His words. His word. And don't let these messages pass you. Grab it and hold on to it. Apply it in your life. It is free and it's all for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's not about you and me. And now you don't have any excuse to say, I didn't know. Okay, back to the sermon. Verse 22 to 24 says, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, and put on a new self, created after the image of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Now, when you do this, you can answer part of question number two, which is, what do we have to do in order to forgive, or for forgiveness to happen? You need to let go of the old you, the corrupt you. Then you would be able to forgive, with a pure heart, of course. But let's say you are still struggling to forgive, and I know some of us ask this question. Do I really have to forgive that person or persons? The answer is yes, yes, and yes. Why? Because first of all, Jesus says to us, forgive as your Father has forgiven you. So as is the key word. There is a connection and a similarity between when you forgive someone for something they did wrong and the Father forgiving you for your sins. So how did God forgive us? Let's say someone comes up to you and punch you in the face. You decide to be big-hearted about it and say, even though you have punched me, I forgive you. And the other person say, you don't have to forgive me. I have already forgiven myself. Now that would be kind of strange, wouldn't it? Who is the one that really needs to do the forgiving? It's the one who got punched in the face. The one who did the punching is not the one who forgives himself. It's the punchy, not the puncher, that do the forgiving. So, if we understand what sin is, we'll understand why we need God's forgiveness. And when we sin, we offend God. How does an offended God forgive us? 1 Peter 3 verse 18 tells us, through Jesus Christ. For Christ hath also once suffered for sins. Now notice this phrase. The just for the unjust. Jesus Christ took our place on the cross and he paid for our sins. And our main text today, Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, to be kind to one another, to be tender-hearted, and forgiving as God Christ forgave you. Paul's version of forgiveness is more like giving. Giving tender-hearted is more like a giving heart. Also, Paul uses a different Greek word for forgiveness that Jesus used. But I don't think we need to get into that or spend time, because you know what? They mean the same, forgive. Question number two. What do we have to do in order for forgiveness to happen? Well, to start with, we shouldn't be part of the obstacle list. We should have the right attitude. We should be tender-hearted. And we should forgive with a giving heart, with a pure and clean heart, gone with the old unforgiving heart. And also, If you don't forgive, it can poison your body and your mind. It can make you become a bitter person. Remember Matthew 20 verse 16 says, "So the last will be the first, and the first will be the last." Forgive, forgive, and forgive. How many times, Daniel? A lot of times. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew 18, verse 21 to 22. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say 7 times, but 70 times 7. I'm going to repeat this. And Jesus said to him, "I do not say 7 times, but 70 times 7. Now, that's 490 times to be exact. Now, does this mean me and my brother, or my brother and I, can sin limitless? A free ticket to sin. There's no Bob here, right? Is there a Bob here? Let's say Bob is a Christian, and Bob accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Bob is baptized, and he goes to church regularly. He serves. He plays the piano. Not as good as Holly, but he does. He even stacks chairs. He plows the church parking lot in winter, and he mowed the lawn in summer. I think we need Bob. He gives his 10% of his income to church. He is a good person. But also, Bob is human. And being human means we make mistakes, right? One day, Bob went to the gas station, and he took, well, he actually stole an ice-cold lemonade. On his way home, he felt very bad for what he has done. And when he gets home, he opens his Bible, and he reads, and he prays, and he asks for forgiveness. The next day, Bob does exactly the same. He commits the same crime, and this could sink his reputation and would get him locked up. Is it okay for Bob to sin? No, it's not. And no, Bob does not have a free ticket to sin. What does the Bible say about this, the book of life? Romans 6, verse 1 and 2, then verse 15. Verse 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" By no means, no. How can we that died to sin still live in it? Now verse 15. "What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace?" By no means, no. So when Bob went home and asked for forgiveness, when did Bob receive his forgiveness? He received his forgiveness long before he asked for it. The same day he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, it has been paid by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the same counts for you and me. Bob also did not have any remorse. regret for what he did in the first place. Because if he did, he wouldn't have committed the second crime. The famous pastor and evangelist Greg Laurie said, remorse is feeling bad about your sin. Repentance is feeling bad enough not to stop, or bad enough to stop. Repentance is a 180-degree turnaround. When you keep feel sorry for the sins that you have committed all over and over again, you are not repenting. You are remorseful. You feel bad about it, but not bad enough to stop. So as Christians, we all have a ticket for slavery in righteousness, to always do the right thing, and to continue in sin, to always do the right thing and not to continue in sin, and also to forgive. Even if a non-Christian sin against you, it's got nothing to do with you as a Christian. We are commanded to forgive with no stipulations. We are ordered to forgive such persons regardless of their attitude or behavior. Which brings us to question number 3. How should we forgive others that sin against us? Jesus says in Matthew 6, forgive as God has forgiven us. How did God forgive us? When Jesus put repentance in your heart, even when you did not ask for it. God forgive us, even when we did not ask for forgiveness, because God is gracious. And in the same way, we should forgive. Why? Because we are commanded to forgive. Please turn to Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15. We're going to answer this very difficult question from Matthew 6. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This conditional statement, if you forgive, you will be forgiven. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Now the question is, does this mean that we have to forgive in order to be saved? Is our salvation now a matter of us doing the work for forgiveness? No. We don't need to forgive and then we get saved. Let me put it to you like this. When was I forgiven? When were you forgiven? The day Jesus died on the cross and paid for my sins, the day I took Jesus in my heart, the day I got saved. So this means we were already forgiven. And now that we understand when we were forgiven, let's look at this question again, this conditional statement. If you forgive, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. My heavenly Father has already forgiven me and you, even before I forgive. So what does this do to our conditional statement? It makes my forgiving evidence that I have been forgiven. Isn't that amazing? When you forgive someone for something they did wrong, or you forgive them for a serious crime that they have committed, it doesn't mean that you need to spend time with them, forgive, and move on. Before we pray, we have all been hurt before, and people that denied being hurt are fooling themselves or lying to themselves that they don't have to forgive somebody or someone. So, how have you been hurt? And who do you need to forgive? Because if you don't forgive, were you really saved? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have chosen us. Thank you that we can listen and learn. Thank you, Lord, that we now understand that we need to forgive. That it is commanded from you, Lord. By saying this, we confess in our hearts, with our mouths, that you are the Almighty King. The Almighty King, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, God, for giving your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, for our sins, our Savior, our Redeemer, our debts paid. We pray for your blessing, Lord. We pray that you would keep us, our children, our families, our friends, in your hands. And that you would protect us from all things that is not from you. And that you would help us to shine our lights in this world. That you would show, that it would show in our works, in any circumstance or situation, so that it can reflect in your name, Jesus, because it's for you, it's for your glory. And in your name we pray, amen.